We welcome back after their summer break our show sponsors sporting their itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikinis. It's Alistair and Miguel from Spence Clark. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. What a terrible
There's some things you can't unsee, and that would be one of them.
No, I don't want that.
Does money stop in Spain for the summer then?
I don't know what stops in Spain. Certainly most offices stop in Spain.
Yeah.
We carry on. Probably to our regret, but nothing stops really. Mm. I think everyone just sort of slows down.
Yes, absolutely.
It's too hot.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Down the beach. Yes,
yeah. Right. Well, we've mentioned before the thorny issue of Brexit. That was back in July, has anything changed?
Well, I mean, a lot has changed.
Okay.
Does it make any difference? No. No, but I mean, it's just getting more and more intense. And it's going to get very intense over the next few months.
Yeah, I was just saying to you there, when we talk to Myra from the CAB about this, she's kind of looking into a crystal ball a bit with a lot of this stuff. And I guess you guys are to an extent, but you can sort of hazard a guess, I would think, at some of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Myra is really at the sharp end of the residency and all those very practical issues. Mm. We're slightly more sort of theoretical.
Mm.
But we obviously have clients who ask us about residency.
Of course.
And we're basically saying, you know, enjoy the EEA status, EU status that you have at the moment. Apply for residency if you possibly can. Get your paperwork in order, because who knows what's going to happen.
That's exactly what Maurice says.
Is that, oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm pleased about that.
Absolutely. Do it now. Don't wait until the fateful day.
And a lot of people are holding back, inevitably, because they don't know what the consequences are. And what we're trying to do, I mean, there's two things that we're doing. One is I've put up on our website an article about the nitty-gritty of the tax thing.
Yeah.
And that's there now. And it's right at the very top of our guides on our website, and you can print it out.
Brilliant.
So that's it's not too technical. That's the first thing we're doing, just trying to put some clarity into the equation.
Yeah.
The second thing is obviously people think, well, shall I actually sign up to being in Spain?
Mm.
You know, I want to retire here. Shall I accelerate my plans and apply for residency, or should I actually admit to the fact I spend more than six months a year?
Mm.
And what we're trying to do, we offer a free tax calculation service, which is dead simple. You just fill in a form on the internet. And you know, we try and get back within 24 hours.
Brilliant.
with a rough calculation, but it's enough to be, you know, to get rid of the doubts.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of people, like pensioners, particularly relatively low-income pensioners, people with maybe a husband and wife with, I don't know, 15,000-16,000 euros of income between them. A lot of these people are completely tax-free in Spain.
Yes.
They're completely tax-free in the UK and in Spain.
Yeah.
And so why mess about? Join the club. You know, it's not a big deal. The tax filing obligations are pretty simple. They're not expensive. And, you know, then you have the satisfaction of knowing you're fully in the system, and you can enjoy the benefit of whatever transitional arrangements or long-term arrangements come out of whatever negotiations finally finish up with. So we're doing our bit as much as we can. And if somebody phones us up, you know, and they're in a tiz about, you know, what the problems are, I mean, we'll talk to them over the phone and help them try and think it through.
Well, let's talk about some specifics. Tax issues that arise in Spain due to the loss of your EEA, your EU status, a person resident in the UK but with assets in Spain.
Yes, basically, at the moment, EU and EEA citizens have the advantage that if they rent their properties on a holiday lettings, they only have to pay 19% tax on their net rental income.
Yep.
This means that they can deduct from the rental income all the expenses which are related to that property.
This is very important. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm. After Brexit, if things remain as they are at the moment, they will lose that entitlement.
Right.
And they will start having to pay 24% tax on the gross rental income.
That and is no a, deductions, is that
and
right?
No deductions.
And that really is.
That's a big, it's not only the increase of the tax rate, but also they will not be allowed to deduct any expenses that are legitimately inherent to the rental income.
That could be a significant difference to some people, couldn't it?
Well, it's massive. I put an example in the article that we've written. I put an example on it. It's a bit of an extreme example, but it's not untypical.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who has bought a place in Spain has a mortgage on it.
Yeah.
Short term, they're renting it out to support the mortgage, and then, you know, with the intention of moving to Spain in a few years' time. Well, I mean, it really, it's horrendous what happens to their tax liability. I mean, you know, it's not going to break the bank, but it's going to be supremely irritating for people. And it's
and if you've been used to it being a certain way for a certain period of time, that's like a huge mortgage increase, isn't it?
It's a massive amount. So you know, for some people, it will be very painful.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Miguel Angel, is the inheritance tax.
Amongst others, the second biggest issue is the inheritance tax. I mean, for example, here in Andalusia, since early this year, if a person inherits assets with a value less than 1 million euros, apart from other conditions, they will virtually be exempt for the first million euro they inherit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Spanish residents, EU and EEA.
Mm-hmm.
After Brexit, they will no longer be able to claim for that 1 million euro exemption. So
we'll
have to start paying inheritance tax from the first euro.
Well, first 15,000.
Mm. Well, of course, yes.
You get 15,000 free.
Yeah.
The 1 million exemption
is
brought down to 16,000 euros.
The 15,000 wasn't such a terrible thing in 1987 when the law was written, but it hasn't actually, I think it may have changed by about 2,000 euros.
Right.
In, what is it? 31 years.
Good grief!
I mean, that's a horrible. That's just crass law. You know, 31-year-old exemptions. You know, it's just beyond belief. But that's what governments do. You know, governments, once they start getting your tax, they ain't going to give. You know, they're not going to make it easier for you.
No, sure. If anyone's got any questions on this, by the way, I forgot to remind you, 952-784-000 is our number. We can email us at studio@tre.radio. And the way round this is what?
Being resident.
There you go.
Yeah, yes. I mean, Andalusia is not unique by any means. Other regions of Spain provide much more favourable deductions.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into it because there are 17, 18 different tax rates, or 17 plus the state system. Tax systems in Spain, but you know, anyone's got a concern about that, again, just pick up the phone, send us an email, and we'll talk it through.
And so UK nationals who live in Spain, who are resident, have no worries at all
Absolutely.
About this, but if you're living in Spain and you're not resident,
then you're making a big mistake.
Exactly.
Almost certainly you're making a big mistake.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
And the tax office is getting much cuter in finding people.
Yeah,
they haven't got the resources to find everyone. I'm not going to issue a scare story saying they're going to come and knock on your door. But gradually, they are getting better and better. And you know, we've heard about the CRS system, where the tax office finds out about your bank account. And
yeah,
all that
absolutely.
Stuff. You know, we are getting a lot of inquiries of that sort.
We'll take our first call. Good morning. You're live on TRE. Hello.
Good morning, Sharon Alicante. Good morning. Very useful stuff. Thank you for doing this. We're resident in Spain and pay tax, income tax in Spain, but we rent out two small properties in the UK. So one assumes that once we're out of the EU, the UK government, well, it probably can do what it likes anyway. So are we subject then to possible moves by the UK government to make our... You see, we fill in an income tax form for the UK, but the rent is below the personal allowance, but we declare it here as well. So I don't know where we stand with that one.
Well, Sharon, first of all, nothing's going to change.
Right.
Okay, nothing, because the tax treaty is what determines the taxation in the UK and Spain.
Regardless of whether we're members of the EU or not.
Absolutely. The EU membership makes no difference in this circumstance.
Oh, that's handy to know.
So you don't have to worry about anything. You will continue to enjoy... You know, your UK tax-free allowance, you will continue, you know, to have to pay tax in Spain on some of that rental income.
Yes.
But if it's residential income, then you get a 60% deduction on your net profit anyway in Spain. So
that's great.
The tax in Spain on your UK property income is actually very low. This is something that people need to understand. If you have a property in the UK, which your old house or whatever, and you rent it out residentially, the tax in Spain is not high. It's very, very small.
Yeah.
And I would like people to not evade tax in that respect, because they're making a big mistake because the tax is so low. Why take the risk?
And one very quick question. Capital gains tax, does that remit when we sell the house here? If, for example, we wanted to sell our property here as tax residents, Will that change after Brexit or not?
No, it won't. As long as you sell it whilst you are a resident. There is one aspect that might change, but let's just deal with the good news first. If you sell your property as a resident, let's say you don't want to have that property anymore, you want to move back to the UK, and you sell it in the tax year that you're still resident, and you're over 65 years old, this is another benefit of being a resident, you will not pay any capital gains tax in Spain as long as you're over 65.
Right, I've heard this. I just didn't know whether it would change after Brexit. But thank you very much.
It will only change after Brexit if you move back to the UK in the year of your sale, and then you will lose a right that you would otherwise have had. Okay, so be sure when you sell it that you remain resident for the whole of that tax year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks
for your call,
Sharon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Another caller. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Oh, hello. It's Kay.
Hello, Kay.
I've been a resident here 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some years ago, I can't remember how many years it was quite a long time ago, I had a letter from the UK. It was a kind of a form asking, did I want to pay tax in the UK or in Spain? And I just had to tick the relevant box. And I ticked the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And that's precisely what happened. They used to tax me on two little pensions, which they shouldn't have done, really. In the end, I did get it back. But I did have the choice. Now, I'm a pensioner.
Yeah.
I own my apartment. I don't have any things that I let or anything. So what's the position now?
What's your name again?
Kay.
Kay. Forgive me, Kay. Are you paying any tax at all in the UK at the moment?
No.
Okay.
Because I don't have to pay.
Because you probably don't have enough income to exceed the personal
allowance.
That's
right.
Let me explain something to you. If I were UK, I would stop. I would notify the UK tax office that you now live in Spain, and that you are tax resident in Spain. You should just write them a letter or pick up the phone and speak to them.
They know this.
Well, they shouldn't be. You should be filing in Spain. You should be filing an income tax declaration in Spain. And you probably will be completely tax-free in Spain as well. But if you don't file that tax return in Spain, and you don't sign up as a resident of Spain, you're going to have problems after Brexit.
Yes.
Well, I've been a resident here.
But official resident?
Yes.
Okay.
I had the old residencia.
Okay. But you
then
should.
Then I came in, and then I had the European one when it was changed.
If your income is below 11,500 or thereabouts,
that's right.
Then you don't even have to file in Spain, actually.
Well, that's what I understood. Yeah. What is it's about €11,000 a year, isn't it?
It was 11,200, is it?
Yes, 11,200.
It's still 11,200
per person.
Miguel Angel is a bit better on the detail than me.
So write to the UK tax office.
No, it sounds to me that Kay is fully resident in Spain. She keeps up her residencia. When it runs out after 5 years, she renews it. And she keeps doing that, and that's the end of it. And she can sign up as a social security system and all the rest of it, and have the benefit of health cover.
Yes.
So, Kay, you're in good shape.
Thank you.
Good news, Kay. Fantastic. Hope that puts your mind at rest. Thank you so much for your call. Another caller now. Good morning, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Good morning. I am Mohamed from Murcia.
Good morning.
I have just a question. I'm trying to make a point. I heard on your radio that the next day to the deadline, the planes are going to be grounded. Is that true?
I tell you what, my friend. I heard yesterday that the UK will not be allowed to play in the Ryder Cup anymore.
Really?
Yeah. That what you've just said is of the order of the Ryder Cup scam.
It is. It's one of those ones that's doing the rounds in some of the papers.
I love the Ryder Cup one, I must say.
I wouldn't worry about it for now.
I really wouldn't worry about it. I can't imagine that Ryanair and EasyJet and British Airways will stop flying between the countries.
The thing is that they have a lover in London and they want her to come to see me.
Yeah, but the planes aren't going to stop flying.
No.
This is Project Fear times three. Mm. It really is the most extraordinary thing that people actually, you know, are being made to be fearful of things.
Mm, I mean, it is
bad. It is really bad. The objective, the whole purpose of having a government is to stop that nonsense and to sort that stuff out. And if they can't do that, what is the point of it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't worry, I think, is the answer to that. Thank you very much for your call. But, these are the kind of things that we talk about with the CAB all the time, and it is the kind of fear of the unknown, isn't it? And if you believe what you read, we talked about this yesterday on the show, but with somebody who was basically saying that even if people are told, this is an extraordinary fact, even if people, it's about people getting stats wrong, basically, right? And even if people are told the actual truth, 40% will not believe it.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a big number. Now, here's an interesting one. So if I order my stuff from Amazon and it comes from America, when it arrives here, there's a bright old palaver which goes on, and it gets held up at customs, and some duty gets applied, and eventually, about after 6 weeks, you get the thing.
Yeah, it costs you €25 in charges for this, that, and everything else.
Yes, in fact, I had a wonderful one the other day where it took 24 hours to get from Dallas-Fort Worth to Seville, and then 6 days from Seville to Marbella.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason I mention that is there's a duty on that, and that's related to VAT. Exactly. What happens after Brexit with stuff from the UK?
Well, if we're not in the customs union, the UK is the same as the US. Now, there are small exemptions. Spain says if it's worth less than, I think it's €25 off the top of my head, you know, there is no duty, no this, no that. But if you go over the 25, you can finish up with €25 extra of charges. You know, by the time you've paid the shipper's customs agent, by the time you've paid a little bit of duty and the VAT on import,
the transport,
you know, but you know, if there is a complete disaster in Brexit, or a WTO exit, then that's where we're going to be.
Good grief.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
And Spain will not be able to negotiate on its own behalf. This is one of the problems with the I call it a problem with the EU. The EU will have to negotiate that on behalf of all the countries. So the Commission, our friends in the Commission in Brussels, will do the negotiating. So that's going to be a major irritant.
Yeah.
And it will cost money.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like the SEPA charges, the bank charges.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you, the cab lady would have, Myra would have explained that.
Yeah.
But, you know, bank charges are low at the moment.
Mm.
You know, I remember the bad old days, you know, when in the early 90s, when the banks sort of charged what they felt like. Mm. And we're sort of going to go back there.
Yeah, to me it's one of the most worrying items in this list of possible changes after Brexit for business traders, because we have no idea how it's going to happen, when, if there's going to be a transition, what systems are going to be implemented during this transitional period. It's going to be somehow chaotic.
Thank God for Amazon Spain. Thank God they've improved so much in the last 5 years.
I think we'll find with companies like Amazon, they're so big and they're so clever, that they will facilitate things. So therefore, if you want to buy something from Amazon, log on to Amazon.es and buy it from Amazon.es. Don't buy it from .com.
Mm.
If it's not available on Amazon.es, it's probably a bad idea.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. We have another caller here. Good morning. You're live on TRE. Hello. How can we help you?
Hello, my name's Paul.
Hello.
A simple one, really, or maybe not.
I've heard that before.
That's enough about me, Paul. Go on.
My wife and I are both tax residents, and I have a government pension in England that is taxed at source, and then I have my old age pension, and I didn't used to pay any tax, and then they changed the rules, and I started paying. I had to pay $600 the year before last, and $400 last year because the exchange rate had changed. And then someone told me you don't need to declare. So I go to my HESTA. So I went to another HESTA, and she said because it's taxed at source, my pension, and the only other income is the old age pension that's too low to declare. I don't need to declare. If I declare, it's voluntary and they'll tax me. If I don't declare, I have no need to. Is that correct?
Paul, I wish tax was voluntary. Paul, you've been given, sadly, bad advice. I'll tell you what the situation. I'll also tell you why it probably changed a few years ago. If we go back a few years, it used to be that UK government pensions, these are pensions paid by a government body like the NHS or whatever, those are tax-free in Spain. And they literally were exempt. They didn't even appear in the banks in the tax return. As a result of which, you only pay tax on your state pension, your old age pension. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, following a change of practice or interpretation, what happened was that whilst the income was actually exempt of income tax in Spain, it's counted towards the use of your exemption, your personal allowance. And so what happened is that your government pension basically wiped out your personal allowance,
yeah,
and you then paid tax on the rest.
Right.
So therefore what happened is you suddenly had it, or a few years ago you started having tax bills because you'd lost the use of your personal allowance in Spain, your Spanish personal allowance. Okay, so the correct answer is you need to file your tax return, including your old age pension and your government pension. And whilst the government pension doesn't actually pay tax, it pushes up your total tax bill.
Yes.
Does that make sense, Paul?
Yes, it
good
does.
It's a quite a complex one to explain. So effectively, you just need to find somebody who will do it properly.
Well, when the sister said that, I said, well, I'd like to know in writing. You'll have to give me something in writing.
That's always a good one.
A few years' time and say, you should have declared.
Yeah.
I need something to... And she did highlight something. She printed something off in Spanish law.
Yeah.
Highlighted it.
It's the trouble is, Paul, unless you do this sort of stuff all the time, it's quite hard in Spanish law. If you're a general practitioner in Spain and you're dealing, you know, with a traffic fine 1 minute, you know, a residencia another minute, and then you're doing a tax return again, you know, you're not specialised enough really to deal with foreigners, particularly foreigners. If you're dealing with, you know, typical Spanish employee, you know, fine, no problem. The moment you go outside of that and you start dealing with foreigners, with foreign pension schemes and weird stuff, then unfortunately most of the sort of round-the-corner guys just can't really cope with the regulations, which are very complicated. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks. So I think the advice there would be to get in touch with the guys at Spence Clark and they can help you through that particular thing for you, Paul. I think that's probably the answer there.
Paul, certainly we'd be delighted to help you. If you just call the office or speak to Claudia, we'd be to give you a fee quote. Or if you... You know, you want to deal with somebody locally, just make sure you deal with somebody who...
Specialises
in foreigners, OK? And there are, you know, there are plenty in Spain, let's face it.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Paul, for your call.
Okay, thank you.
And that brings up another point there that you kind of alluded to when you were talking about the SEPA system, which is the bank transfer stuff.
Yeah.
So if your pension is paid from the UK and transferred to Spain,
the
charges could actually end up being higher.
I think they will. At the moment, the banks are only allowed to charge the same rate in Spain. So if you receive the transfer in Spain, they're only allowed to charge the same rate as for a Spanish transfer.
Yeah.
They can't modify it.
Yeah.
If you're dealing with a non-SEPA foreign bank, Swiss bank, for example, a lot of Swiss banks are non-SEPA, then they're entitled to charge the same rate that they would charge any foreign transfer. And that can be quite high. Now, all charges are subject to negotiation. So if there are any people out there who are worried about this, the best thing they can do is, when we get closer to the deadline, is to go into the bank and just clarify things. And just say, what are you going to charge me on my pension receipt? What's the commission going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's unacceptable, then go to another bank.
Right.
Okay? You know, it's a free market. But, you know, a lot of people will suffer before they can act. And once the bank has charged the commission, it's very, very hard to reverse it.
Yeah. So go and ask in advance.
I think people need to go and talk to their banks in March. Okay, and just actually round about January, I'd say, give a few months, and just make sure the bank isn't going to rip you off.
And make sure it's on a day that you're allowed to go into the bank and talk about that specific subject, only on a Monday when there's a full moon and you're wearing the right shirt.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. UK holding companies with Spanish subsidiaries and branches will potentially pay more tax in Spain.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly yes, because we currently have some issues under domestic legislation that talks about several exemptions or when you repatriate funds from Spain to the UK, from a Spanish subsidiary to the UK parent company, and all also are derived from the parent subsidiary EU directive. After Brexit, the UK will no longer be able to enjoy this EU directive.
Right.
at the moment, when subject to certain conditions, when the Spanish company transfers dividends to its UK parent company, there is no withholding tax in Spain on that transfer of dividends.
Mm-hmm.
That will no longer be applicable.
Right.
The same with Spanish branches of UK companies. At the moment, Spanish branches have to pay some kind of tax between 10 and 15% of the profits that they are transferred back to the UK, unless the UK company is part of the EU.
Right.
Right? You see the point?
Yes, yeah.
It's not only the rental income and the inheritance tax for person for individuals. It goes beyond those factors. There are so numerous elements in taxation that are going to be affected.
It's going to affect, I mean, businesses, trans-border businesses.
Yes, yes.
I mean, apart from all the chaos we're going to have on VAT and customs and stuff like that, which is going to be great fun.
And the double tax treaty between the UK and Spain is not covering all these points.
Of course, because it's never meant to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It goes some way. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. It goes some way, but in some circumstances, it will cause pain to those corporate entities, and so they absolutely need to take some advice.
Well,
let me tell you something. I was 1 year ago, even 6 months ago, I was very optimistic. I was one of those who thought that even after the Brexit, everything would remain at the same.
Yeah.
Right, but the closer we are getting to the deadline, I suspect that taxation is not one of the top items in the agenda.
You've lost hair. I can see you've lost hair since last year. Yes. You've been tearing it out, haven't you?
Yeah.
I can see that.
I spoke to the embassy, and I spoke to HMRC in the UK, to the specialists who are thinking about things like this.
Yeah.
And most of them didn't actually... Well, I can say that the two people I spoke to had not a clue about these issues. Not one idea. In fact, they gave me back answers which were just fundamentally wrong.
Yes.
So it's kind of...
Oh, dear.
I think they know now because I've told them.
That's worrying and comforting in equal measure, isn't it?
They've had time to check it.
Well, we've got through a lot there. As you mentioned there, very importantly, there's an article on your website on these issues, and that's worth going having a look at. It covers all this stuff we talked about today, and if people want to join that residence club, which they should do, you've got a tax calculator there to kind of estimate what that might cost you when you become resident in Spain. That's all on the website, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And again, if people just want to talk it through with somebody, spend 10 minutes on the phone with us, we're happy to do that.
And what is the number?
It's 95282 2943.
You say that in a very strange way.
I know.
95282 2943.
Okay. And you just type Spence Clark Marbert and you...
Indeed, and it's Spence with an E and Clark with an E.
It is, yeah.
Fantastic.
You'll find us on the web.
As always, thank you, gentlemen. We will see you again in a few weeks' time.